Welcome to the Honesty Talks podcast. I am so glad you are joining the conversation today. I hope that you will dig deep with us, think honestly, and allow God to challenge us. As we explore, it is my hope that we grow and see more together. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Honesty podcast. And right now we are actually going to be doing a series of everyday devotionals for counting the Omer in this season between Easter, Passover, Easter, Shavuot, and Pentecost. So there's this period of time that in the Jewish tradition they count what is called the Omer. And today to help, actually for the next couple weeks, I have Jessica with me here, Jessica Larrabee, to help us walk through this every day for the next 3 weeks. So I'm going to hand it over to Jessica to say hi and actually explain what is an Omer.
Hi, yes. I would like to state that the Omer is 7 weeks, but we are starting in already at week 5, so we'll be doing the last 3 weeks of it. And the reason that we're okay with already starting halfway through is because an Omer is the amount that will fill you spiritually. So it is the perfect amount that will give you how much you need, and it will last for how long you need it. So no matter where you start, enter into it, you will still get what you need out of counting the Omer and sitting in what it means and reflecting with God on what the Omer will bring to you.
Awesome. And the historical reference to the Omer is, first it's used in Exodus to refer to the amount of manna taken every day. So that's kind of the spiritual filling that you're talking about.
Yes.
And historically, it was used to count down the days from Passover to when the people gathered around Mount Sinai in the Old Testament. And this throughout time, also when the temple was operational, built, they used this period of time from Passover until Shavuot, which is first fruits, to count grain offerings and what they would offer to God, their first fruits.
Yes, and the first use is in Exodus 16, and that is something we like to do a lot, is look at where's the first use in the Bible. So that is where we get the definition from, is related to counting the manna. And it also relates to if you count the Omer, but then try to hoard it and control it for yourself, it becomes rotten and stinks, which is what happens if they tried to keep the manna for too long. So it is the balance of holding what God has given you, but not trying to control it.
Awesome. And there is a lot of historical references too, of like counting the Omer is, in history, it was an agricultural society. And so offering first fruits of their harvest was a big deal because it was everything that they did. It was how they lived. They grew all of their own food, and they offered the first fruits of that to God. And the Omer, in where it first shows up in scripture, the word Omer, using to count, is in Exodus, but it's in the spiritual sense of counting the amount of manna God provided for the people. And so that's how that is like hooking together, that there's this, it is really the spiritual context in what we are counting in ourselves and leading up to being at the mountain of God with the people of God. And also, what are we offering during this time frame in first fruits? And then following the Mount Sinai in first fruits time is Pentecost. It's like a couple days after that and the coming of the Holy Spirit. And that all these things, like the timelines that don't happen all at once, they happen through time, are not happening on accident.
Correct, yes. And when we look at Exodus 16, it says, it is enough to fill your head and your soul. So it's really emphasizing on God's provision being enough for you physically, but also being enough for you spiritually, mentally, and just really how you inhabit the space with time and trusting that God's provision will continue to come.
And also with the historical context of offering grain, it's also the work of your hands is what's needed to be surrendered to God too. It isn't just about taking, there's a relationship. I think that the historical and, well, they're both historical because manna happened way before offering of grain, but like throughout time, that there's a both.
And I think it teaches us how to hold the passing of time better. Like, we are just leaving Passover, which is about what are you leaving during this season? And then it teaches us how to be mindful with our time as we move forward and as we're leaving out of this space, and just the intentionality of being present with God so we don't go back into the narrow place that we just left.
Mm. And for those of you who are listening and might not know what Passover is about, to give you a little background, Passover is 7-8 days long, and it is a whole week. And we celebrate during this time the exodus of the people from Egypt. And Egypt in the Hebrew is Mitzrayim, and Mitzrayim means narrow place. So there is a large spiritual truth to every year at Passover. We are looking at what are the narrow places that we have become slaves to. We work worshiping, serving other things other than God that we need to leave in mm-hmm. life. And those can be spiritual realities, and they can also be physical realities. They can be jobs, relationships, things we believe about ourselves that we need to leave. So in this season where we've identified things to leave, counting the Omer is then a way to be more intentional and present with yourself and to not fall back into those patterns mm-hmm. and really to make space for growth and what God brings. So as we are making this journey and counting the Omer, there is a structure and how we meditate on this and count it every day. And it involves prayers and a structure. So I'm going to let Jessica explain the structure of counting the Omer.
Yes, there are 7 different themes, and each week has its own theme, and each day has its own theme. And so you sit in what the weekly meaning is overall, as well as you sit in what the daily meaning is and how that plays a part into the weekly meaning.
So how it intersects. Awesome. And there's, when we're doing this, there's room for whatever God is speaking to you as you are counting mm-hmm. and those weekly themes and daily themes, how they intersect. There'll be things that God points out to you that really stick with you. And really, it's a practice of hearing.
Mm-hmm. Hearing where God is leading you and what you need, because what Trin might need is different from what I need and what I'm going to get out of the counting.
So we want this to be a richness of space that's provided as we count the Omer, that there's room for individually we're going to encounter that differently.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just hope that you get a lot of richness out of these devotionals. We're going to share how we both interact with it, which is very different, and that there's room for how God may be moving in you in the counting of the Omer mm-hmm. as well.
So today is the evening of April 25th, and it is after sundown. So we count each new day after sundown. And so we are starting a new week, and it is the week of Hod, which is, there's several different words that go with each weekly theme. And so the words are splendor, glory, empathy, humility, service, and surrender. And so we sit in what each of those words mean individually and what is standing out that God may be trying to teach us in that. And then each theme also has a color that goes with it. So the color with Hod is lavender.
And then within that weekly, so like all week we're going to be thinking about Hod mm-hmm. and the fullness of all those words. But there's a daily theme. And the daily theme that is April 25th, which is Chesed, and it's loving kindness, benevolence, generosity, grace, altruism, and unconditional love. And the color that goes with Chesed is white. And the reason for the colors is, well, there's lots of reasons, but I mean, we'll just give you a really easy one, which is just how we are interacting with and reminding ourselves. Like, we both wear bracelets mm-hmm. of each color for the week and then switch out the daily ones mm-hmm. so that we can keep it in front of our eyes on what day it is and what we should be reflecting on. So, and Jessica goes like way deep into this, which I really appreciate. Like, I wear the bracelets and I keep it in front of myself that way. But she, like, I think you should say a little bit of something about that, because I think it's really cool.
Yeah, I really think in terms of color a lot. So, like, the color for me is what really stands out in counting the Omer. The color helps me remember what I'm sitting in and what I'm supposed to be reflecting on. So I wear the bracelets, but then I also try to, like, match my clothing to the day theme, especially because that changes. It's easy to get the week down for me, but I try to match it to like the day thing. So because we start at sunset, it'll be the outfit that I'll wear tomorrow. I'll have something that has the color white in it then to help me remember that I'm sitting in the Hesed of the Hod.
See, I think that's cool. I don't think that way, but I think it's really cool. Extra thing you can really do to make sure that you don't forget what you're sitting in.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's discuss a little bit about how to sit in the Hod, the week Hod and Hesed.
Yes. So I just said the Hesed of the Hod, which is how you correctly say as you're counting the Omer, you say the day and then the week. So you'll hear that probably several times as we continue to count and go through, as we'll say the day first and then we'll say it of the weekly theme.
So we're sitting in the Chesed of the Hod, and it's loving kindness, benevolence, generosity, grace, altruism, unconditional love. But the whole week we're supposed to be holding on to splendor, glory, empathy, humility, service, and surrender. And so what I like to do, I'm just going to go kind of into maybe what I do, is I have this like graph a friend of ours gave us. And it's this graph of all of the themes, the seven themes. And I like to look at the graph because they're all the words are listed out there. And I like to go, okay, I'm sitting in the week of Hod. So I am holding Hod, and I want to go through each of those words in relation to each other. So I will look at Hod and I will look at Chesed, and I will say, I will sit there and think to myself, what is the splendor of loving kindness? What is the splendor of benevolence? What is the splendor of generosity? What is the splendor as it relates to grace? Mm-hmm. What is the splendor as it relates to altruism? What is the splendor as it relates to unconditional love? And then I'll go through the second word of Hod. What is the glory of loving kindness of Chesed? What is the glory of the benevolence of the Chesed? What is the glory of the generosity? What is the empathy? You know, like, so they're like, you're going the glory, the generosity, the grace, the altruism. And I go through each word and I go, okay, empathy is also Hod. So what is the loving kindness of empathy? What is the benevolence of empathy? What is the generosity of empathy? What is the grace of empathy? What is the altruism of empathy? What is the unconditional love? And stuff sticks out to me there. So like there, right there, I'm thinking, oh, what is the loving kindness within empathy that I can offer and bring to the world?
Mm-hmm.
And how benevolent is it when you're bringing that in empathy? And how generous I need to be to offer the empathy that is needed for people, for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's sticking out to me. And like the grace within empathy, like as those two related to each other. Oh man, like, is there grace in my empathy? Even toward myself, which I think of like, I am really not gracious toward myself. So I'm going to hang on to that this week. And then what's the unconditional love and empathy that I offer toward myself and toward others and that God offers to me, right?
Yep.
What is the grace in empathy that God offers to me and the people? And like, so this is how I'm thinking of it, is all these cross section, because my mind is so connectional I told Jessica this and she kind of looked at me like, oh my gosh, that's a lot.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know another way to do this. Like,
I think it's incredible that you can look at that and see all of that, because I look at this chart that he made and it just like overwhelms me. So like I do like a prayer of like inviting God into just my mindset as I'm reading over this and asking God to really help me, like, okay, what do I need to sit in? And even my weekly word that like stands out to me can change depending on the day and what I'm sitting in. So I'll read like the Hod and I'll be like, okay, today I really feel like glory and empathy are speaking to me, and I'm gonna look for those just as I go through my daily life, and even how most people don't put glory and empathy together and what that would look like. And then in the Hesed, I'll be looking at probably the loving kindness and generosity that glory and empathy come with, and I'll take each word for just what I feel like God is pulling out and really trying to speak to me through individually.
Yeah, that's crazy because I take this as my meditation portion, as like how all these words intersect. And then I'll meditate on each of these connecting words, which probably gives some people a headache. And then I literally will say my prayers after that as things are arising in the connections for me. And I will say the prayers of, you know, one of the my favorite things in the Omer prayers is correct any imbalance that I have lived out this week, this day. And it's really more about wholeness.
And the fact that we pray this every year, we know we're going to continue to create imbalance as we move forward. And we're going to continue to pray each year that God corrects the imbalance that we continue to create.
And I think for me, one thing that's sticking out for me right now as I'm doing my like meditation online with y'all, with Jessica, is the surrender of the Hod. And what it takes to what I have to surrender to live in loving kindness, live in benevolence, live in generosity, live in grace, live in unconditional love. And then I also think about what has God done and surrendered to live in loving kindness, to live in benevolence toward us and be generous to us and show grace and unconditional love. So that's something that's like sticking out to me right now. And that will be part of my prayer tonight as I'm holding that, is like those cross sections.
Yeah.
Are like, oh. And what's cool is this creates intentionality of thinking about like, how am I living this out in the world or not? And how does God show these things to me? And how do I show these things to others? So it's like threefold. It's like, what am I doing? What is God doing? What am I showing others? And I think even like, what am I showing myself?
Yeah, that's beautiful. And I think there's even a fullness of like the fact that every person who counts the Omer is sitting in the same day at the time, at the same time as you. So what does it look like that possibly thousands of people are sitting in the chesed of the Hod, what it looks like to have the empathy, the humility, the splendor, and the glory, and the loving kindness within that, and the benevolence within that, and just what does a society look like that we're all operating out of the same space and reflecting on it, but each taking it individually for what it means for us, as well as the bigger picture of God.
I think there's a responsibility to community living this way and counting this. Like, it always takes it back to the community, because like if people are counting the Omer and we're taking stock of our lives and we're taking stock of our relationship with God and we're taking stock of what's going on in us, what's coming out of us, what is coming to us, what is God doing in us, through us, and we're taking all of that and we're reflecting on it, like I think how might there be a better world because we're being more intentional with thinking through these things, praying through them, letting them soak in. Like, you bet I would love more splendor, glory, empathy, humility, service, surrender, you know, in the loving kindness, benevolence, generosity, grace, unconditional love, altruism. Like, those are things that are good that we would want for the betterment of more than just myself.
Yeah, and I think that community piece is huge, because if we do look at Exodus 16, during that story is one of maybe even the first time that they're referred to as the people of Israel rather than just the children.
And it's in relationship to coming out of slavery into the wilderness and learning that God provides and provides. It's like this day-to-day thing. And only you can take only the extra Omer of manna on the Sabbath, because you rest on the Sabbath. But that you only take what you need that day. And that speaks into, like, when you're counting the Omer, you're counting what do I need to take in this day, God, from you? What do I need to fill? Like, what are you trying to fill my cup with? I'm not even going to use language of like, God, I'm going to control you. what I want from you. No, God, what do you want to give to me this day that is enough?
Yeah.
And trust that. And then do that every day. God, what do you have for me today?
And to continue to trust that you're going to wake up and there will be more manna.
I like that. I like that it's at sundown, because I was talking to our friend who really loves counting the Omer.
Yes, he does.
And he said, we do it at sunset because, I mean, well, obviously all Jewish life happens at sunset when you're observing like Sabbath or holidays. It's it's at the twilight hour. And he said that there is a point of this that you do it at night and you do the prayers, you do the meditations, right? And you go to sleep. And there is a thought process of you are waking up with a greater awareness and awakening to what you've been sitting in before you go to sleep.
Yeah. And I feel like it really gives our chance for like our subconscious to really sink it in, because that's what happens when you sleep.
And so I've noticed a difference when I'm doing it at night and then I wake up in the morning. Sometimes I've had Omer dreams. How weird is that?
Yep.
Like I'm dreaming about these concepts and like it's affecting my dreams. So I wake up and I'm like, oh, and I remember that our friend said that. And I was like, that is so true, that it affects how you wake.
You wake up automatically with intentionality.
And you wake up to things. Like, I feel like there was an awareness that was birthed overnight. I know that seems very, ooh, but it's true.
Absolutely.
And I think another beautiful thing that I think we can kind of maybe close with is there's a part of the Omer that's that you say in the prayers that's really wanting to be one with the Lord, with God. That there's this meeting when we count the Omer, there's a meeting that we have with our Creator.
Yeah.
In it.
And that's where counting up to Sinai, which is when God met the people, and then also Pentecost, which is when the Holy Spirit came down upon the people.
Matters.
Yep. How we sit in time matters.
And I think we are so much Lord of our own time. We're not very intentional spiritually. Like, it can be really easy to just fit spirituality into the daily lives that we control. But during the counting of the Omer, that's really hard to do, because it starts and ends with that every day. And it's like the surrendering of your own time in order to step into God's time and count and be in ways that we probably don't.
Yeah.
On a regular basis, because we're too busy directing our own time. And what might we be missing? Like, counting the Omer this year, this is why we decided to do this like halfway through, because we're counting the Omer and we're like, this needs to happen for everyone. Like, we need to at least share this, because even if one person got something out of this to live more intentional spiritually with God and with themselves and with their community, like the whole nine yards, that it's worth it.
Yeah, we're seeing it, how it's playing out in real time in just our lives. As we reflect upon it together, that it's like, whose else life needs this impact? Like, what are we missing out on by not sharing this with other people?
And that's why we decided, well, 3 weeks of the Omer is better than none. So we will talk to you guys tomorrow.
Yes.
At sunset. And hopefully this conversation has been helpful.
Yes, I hope it finds you well.
And blesses you. I hope today's conversation has been deep and transformative. Please consider becoming a Patreon supporter to help us continue and expand the Honesty Talks podcast. When you are a Patreon supporter, you will get to be a part of our online community. You can also get other great things like early access to episodes, participating in polls, and making suggestions on future podcast topics, and so much more. For more information and to donate, go to patreon.com/honesty_talks. Thank you for listening, and join us next time.